FM.
It's 8:30 on a Wednesday, and now Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., has joined me for another robust discussion of matters of importance to you and me, and in fact, what's trending at the moment. There's so much excitement in the air with regard to the visits to America.
There's a lot at stake here.
Hey, isn't it's a very important situation, a very important meeting, and I see a lot of people have gathered for the event. I see Rob Herzog flew himself over class.
Yeah.
He's come under quite a lot of scrutiny, old Rob Herzog. You know, he's been claiming for a while that the ANC has been following this socialist communist agenda of cronyism and, as they call it, cadre, deployment.
It's fairly self-evident.
But apparently, you know, he's positioned himself as a center-right capitalist, and that's his agenda, and that's what they're But according to many critics of Rob Herzog, saying, you know, you're missing the point. The ANC is not involved with anti-capitalism. In fact, quite the contrary. They are exponents of what they call crony capitalism, and the agenda is not to create a socialist environment, but really to take out as much of the filthy lucre as possible before the thing collapses.
Well, yeah, that's self-evident. Yeah. I don't think the ANC ever believed that they were going to be able to take this country into prosperity. I think it was self-evident fairly early on that they were out of ideas and that they were just going to have a dilatory effect on this country and the economy, and that they better just make hay while the sun shines, because it certainly is going to set at the rate that things are going.
Well, it would appear there is a certain amount of pressure being brought to bear on Cyril Ramaphosa and the delegation that went across from the South African government. But interestingly, I believe that this meeting was brokered by, according to the news report this morning, Anton Rupert.
It's likely. He's a very influential guy. And
so it goes
and
to
also Herzog himself. I mean, he's got the ear of a lot of, a lot of senators in the U.S., He was fairly high up in the U.S. as well, so he did his yards there. He's well connected. He knows, and I think what's very evident, I watched just briefly yesterday on YouTube, like some of the interviews of Ramaphosa when he arrived in the States and so on.
Did you see that? What are you doing here? News people.
I was struck especially by the bonhomie and sort of naive optimism with which they're going into a meeting that's been a long time coming. There's a big axe to grind here. South Africa hasn't acted in U.S. interests for a very long time. They've always voted against them in the U.N. They've taken Israel to court. They've loaded arms in Simonstown onto the Lady R when there was an embargo on Russia after the invasion of Ukraine. They've been that friend that really just hasn't been a friend.
And apparently Rubio is the attack dog in this case. He's more likely to savage.
I think just the 1,000-foot sort of view of it is there are several missteps of the ANC on the international relations front with the US. It has strange bedfellows like Iran, which is antithetical to US interests. And I think ultimately what's happening is that there's got to be a reckoning of that before there's going to be a trade deal. And I get the impression that this delegation are going there saying, well, we're going to sweep that and expropriation without compensation and, the staggeringly high farm murder rate here and the BEE racist legislation. We're going to sweep that under the carpet.
But
we're here to talk about trade, and that's not going to happen.
They've done quite a clever thing with the BBBBEE position with regard to Starlink and Elon Musk. That they brokered a deal last night, apparently, that they had done a similar deal with the South African motor industry in the past to kind of bypass the requirements of BEE.
That's right.
And that was very interesting. What are they calling it? An equity equivalent option, where they involve instruments of infrastructure training or investments in infrastructure training, and providing Starlink kits to rural areas to improve internet access. Yada 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 yada. Yeah. So we will, you know, we won't.
That's necessarily typical. The ANC, there are rules for thee, but not for me. You know, when we need to amend our rules in certain cases, we will. You know, and ultimately, I think these are pretty hard issues. I think what America is quite clearly saying is that we don't mind. We've helped you guys a lot. You know, I think there's something like 15,000 people that were working. Because of the money that America was giving us to fight AIDS, that's 15,000 jobs. They've done a great a service to this country, more than other countries have. And so, you know, America's saying, well, if we are friends, then behave like one. And our friends don't murder their farmers. Our friends don't steal their farms. Our friends don't, don't take our international sort of compatriots like Israel to the International Criminal Court, especially when they're defending themselves against an attack.
It's an interesting.
So there's a lot of things where we have really haven't been a good friend, and I think America's saying, well, then why should we take our taxpayer money and send it to you, and why should we assist you, and come and talk to us? Now, everybody's been saying, and sadly, I haven't heard this from the South African camp at all, but everybody's been saying, don't go to Washington. Tell Donald Trump that he's completely wrong about everything because he's an ego and he's an egotist. And if you tell him he's just been a fool and he better climb down from his position, you're not going to get anywhere, okay? Don't go there with a dictionary and say, well, this is the dictionary definition of genocide and there's only been 3,000 and something farm murders, so that's not a genocide mathematically or whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry they ever called it a genocide, because what it is an unacceptably high murder rate. And let's throw the semantics out. But if you go there with your thesaurus and your dictionary and tell Donald Trump that you're going to now give him a dissertation on the meaning of genocide, you're not going to get anywhere. That's not the point of this meeting. What Donald Trump wants you to do is to go, listen, Donald, we now are the GNU. The previous regime was solely ANC. We've changed our ways. We're sorry about what's gone under the bridge, but this is what the future looks like for us, and we can offer you this and we can offer you that, and what can you do for us reciprocally? He's a businessman, and that's what he wants to do.
Don't you think that's what they're going to do? Because that's why they've taken Steenhuisen along, you know, clearly to he's the Minister of Agriculture.
I'm so worried about Steenhuisen. And,
I think his credibility has suffered a huge blow as a result.
It has. And, you know, I think this is a typical situation where you've got the DA in that are sitting in Parliament and the DA, those that aren't. And, you know, the parliamentarians are, you know, they've got this ministerial salary, they've got all the perks that goes with it. That has an effect on a man. And you can even watch Dean McPherson standing up at NAMPO and saying, well, you know, nil is a form of compensation. And you're going, well, Dean, you were one of the first people to say, well, you can't do this. Section 25 of the Constitution says you cannot take people's possessions without paying them for them, you know, and so, you know, and he's now done this vault face, and you go, well, why would that be? You know, is it because you're quite enjoying the trappings of Parliament? I actually laughed because the one journalist said muttered something, and Dean McPherson said, excuse me, I'm speaking, and the journalist said, you're speaking rubbish. So I mean, you can just see, I think politics is dementing for those who are in it. I mean, we only have to watch Herman Mashaba and sort of how, you know, sort of over time he's just become a totally different animal. You know, I think politics is dementing and difficult, and I often think that, you know, it's a pity that politics has become so big in our lives, you know. It would be a far better world if government just went about running things instead of telling people how to live, what to do, and what to think. And that's always been something that human beings have wanted off their backs. Get off my back, government. Don't tell me how to run my business. You don't know. You can't run a business. That's why you're in government.
Apparently, the so-called black middle class echelon in South Africa has been created almost entirely by government, not by providing access to manufacture, etc., but by just hiring people.
Well, yeah, that's the man in the bucket lifting himself by the handle again. You know, these are fake jobs, and they don't add to GDP.
Yeah,
they're just salaries.
And you've got a massively bloated public sector, massively bloated, and sadly with a number of people that are hopelessly under or unqualified to do the job which they currently hold. And it's almost an impossibility to get rid of them, apparently.
Well,
with the current
labor. It's been a mindset thing, and I don't blame people for thinking the way they did 30 years ago, but we're 30 years down the road. And that has been that the messaging from the ANC and senior politicians in this country is that you're all victims of apartheid, right? And there is this unequal situation from which you can never recover. And your only salvation is what the government can do for you. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't even try to do anything for themselves, because the message was always, we're the government, we're here to help. You don't have to worry. You don't have to get off your ass. You don't have to come up with good ideas. You don't have to make sure every single year you're better off than the last. You don't have to squirrel away any savings. Because guess what? We're the government. We're going to take care of everything. You must be so careful when you allow the government to do that, because then they hold all the cards, and then the government gives you everything, they can take everything away.
See, the danger of in a situation like ours in South Africa, where you have a vast majority of very undereducated electorate, people that, although they're not, you know, people are people, and there is a common sense element to everyone. I believe, you know, we have a huge capacity, but when you have the lack of education to be able to discern what the gameplay really is, or what appears to be, what the alternatives are.
I like the statistics that come out when they do their polls and so on. You know, South Africans, by and large, across all racial groupings, are conservative by nature. You know, they don't like the idea of singing Kill the Boer songs, and they don't like the idea of taking somebody's property without paying them for it. That's a very niche and very sort of political position.
But it also tends to be a very crowd-dominant position, and as soon as reasonable people form a crowd, they become unreasonable.
You can say that, and you can always say, well, you know, we're not going to change everybody's mind overnight. And it takes. Yes, we're a democracy. We're only 30 years old. 30 years, the gun went off 30 years ago, and we forgot to run, and the rest of the world has kind of moved on. We look rather silly going to America. I mean, you can't be taken serious as a president of a country when you arrive there and your growth rate for your economy is less than 1%. That is testament to abject failure to run your affairs at home. So you can't be taken seriously.
You know,
but I do think, Dave. Sorry, just to let me finish the point. I do think that democracies require time to mature, and I think the electorate is maturing. I don't think they're that susceptible to sort of outrageous dialogues like the Malemas and so forth anymore. And I think the average person is quite aware of the fact that not much has changed on the ground, and it has to change. So I feel it. I watch a bit of the YouTube stuff when I've got some time, and there's a lot of African commentators that are making such good sense, you know, that have seen through this facade of the ANC is going to save you, and we're liberators, and we, you know, the struggle continues against whom? I don't know who's in the shadows, but you know, that sort of nonsense rhetoric that's got no more, it's got no more place in our discourse. You know, we need to only think of one thing, and that is the salvation of everybody in this country would be a growth rate of something like 5%. Yeah. You know, and then it's not those fake government jobs; these are actual productive jobs. You know, that add to the bottom line of our economy, and. These are ideas and thoughts that have never been given any time or airing, because it's always been a subtext of us versus them. But we have to get to a point where we go, it's only us.
But I think it's still not getting enough airing, and I say that with respect, because it would appear that almost every narrative now that one can find online or on air or in print is tampered with. And it's tampered with by, shall we say, agents of change in whichever pay grade they fall. And it's not for necessarily the common good, but who is paying for that particular line?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem with power is that, you know, it's a drug. And so you are prepared to say the most disingenuous things, the most untrue and dishonest things.
But if you look at the way it's being done, there was a deep dive done by, I think it was, certainly one of the investigative journalists for the Daily Maverick, not my favorite read, but still, I admire their work. And it was to do with the way the Action SA fan club came out to cheer their marvelous turning around of the VAT scenario in government. I mean. And they were all remarkably similar, these tweets on X and various other platforms. And just the shallowest of dives revealed it to be the work of micro-influencers in the pay of macro-influencers, in turn in the pay of, in this case, probably the Action SA. So, yeah. And if they are doing it gauchely and badly, you can imagine how entities with real clout are doing it.
I mean, that's one of the tragedies of our era, is that everybody now realizes that the mainstream media has been bought.
Yeah, but this is now this isn't mainstream. And this is now social media.
Yeah, social media,
which is where most people are getting the info. We're getting our info.
It's the next thing. Yeah, I mean, if I see CNN, BBC, or any of those, I just immediately page over, because I'm not interested. I just know that whatever they're selling, they've been paid to sell. Those are not journalists.
There you go.
But those are propagandists.
This is
the propagandists for companies and for governments.
You know, if you really want a snapshot of what the average South African finds kind of acceptable, I suppose, in terms of social mores and norms, you must have a look at the roasting of Helen Ziller on Showmax.
Okay.
Now, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan of the roasting of anything, because it brings out the worst. But here we have a lineup of South African luminaries in their own fields, you know, from all sorts of walks of life, mostly entertainment or showbiz or media, all of whom now line up to roast Helen Ziller and each other, which is fair. And the presenters or the hosts of the show are two well-known black celebrities. I was appalled at the completely unbridled pornographic references in many instances and blue language. Now, this is supposedly a kind of, you know, a general audience spectacle. And yet the audience was killing themselves laughing at some of the most inappropriate personal observation, not of Helen Ziller necessarily, but of the
did
other.
She appear on the show?
Oh, yeah, no, she was being roasted.
I'm surprised that she let herself in for
it. No, she's been dolled up for the occasion, you can see. She, you know, so much work has gone into Helen Ziller, you hardly recognize. I thought, she's quite an attractive woman.
You know, Maggie Thatcher was too. It's all a sideshow. I mean, all of this.
But the point is that the South African public now, if we are going to depend on the common man or woman to see the sense, to see light, or anything close to what you and I hope for as a brighter future, I think we're going to be woefully disappointed. Woefully. Well, doesn't seem to exist.
I've got a different take on it. I honestly think when the National Party lost the common man, they lost everything. And I think the ANC is busy losing the common man. And apparently they're down to 30-odd% from 60-odd%
Yes,
not so
but
long
where
ago.
Are they going? And that is the
Where's the common man going?
I don't think they're all going to the blue flag. I don't think so.
No, they're not. But, you know, a lot of things can change. I mean, even, you know, I was never a big fan of abstinence, but, you know, abstaining when you should be voting. But that in itself is probably, philosophically, you could argue, a way of voting.
Well, it definitely is
not lending your power to people that you don't agree with.
Yeah, it's considered to be a political protest by abstaining or spoiling your vote. But what that has done in the past is simply played into the hands
of
you know,
politicians are also reactionaries. You know, they react to whatever's going to keep them going.
And yes, particularly at those kind of salaries.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, if the clear message from your electorate is that we don't like what you're doing, you're also going to change your ways.
Yes, suddenly so Starlink might come in.
Starlink. Maybe we'll have a good look at DE and wonder if it shouldn't be quite so oppressive to whites. You know, maybe we'll have a look at the Expropriation Act and say, well, maybe that section, maybe we'll stop fighting over it and just remove it. Because you, really, I mean, the day that you do that, you've just given up on your economy when you start expropriating without compensation.
Well, so you know, there's many roads to Jerusalem, but they all kind of lead there.
I think
there.
So. You know, ultimately, people have the government that they tolerate. And I think we are getting to the point where we don't really want to tolerate this for much longer.
Ah, well, that's a positive end to a lovely conversation on a Wednesday morning with Gavin Steinhobel. It'll be up as a podcast. Lots of folk have been contacting us. How do we get hold of that talk with that very intelligent? I said, okay, well, there we go. So now you know you can get it on our apps or on our website under the podcast for the morning show. Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law, is practicing attorney down in the Belito Village under the banner Cloppers Inc. And Gavin will be back in a week's time to continue the conversation.
Lovely, Dave. Nice weather as well. I see the rain's
back. Here it comes again.